Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful hymn. How many of us take it to the Lord in prayer? Been doing a whole lot of praying this week, and I'm sure you've been joining me. I haven't given another update on Ron, but we'll talk about that a little later. Do we have any announcements today? Danny? Announcements?
Oh,
okay, all right. I got here a little behind time, so I didn't look on the bulletin. Okay, all right, so you see the announcements on back.
Right, this Wednesday at 7 p.m., we are resuming the Chosen Bible study. It is season 3, episode 3. And please come, bring a friend, bring a friend's friend, bring everybody you can.
Maybe we can have somebody stand out there about 6 o'clock and have an arrow pointing in here. We'll get a lot of them in here.
Let's put on there, join us.
Yes, join us. Be there or be square. Okay, any others?
Your supplies are starting to come in back there. So.
Are we running out of space yet?
Not yet.
Okay, all right. Thank you guys for the school supplies. I can't believe Bob Free didn't have an announcement. You know, when you turn 80, you forget a lot of things.
Amen.
Hey, his hearing's good today, so maybe he's on the upswing now that he's 80. All right. Call to worship comes from Psalm 148, 1 through 5. Please read along if you'd like. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly host. Praise him, sun, moon, and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created. Amen. Let's bow our head for a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for all those in attendance. And there's so many things that we could give you thanksgiving and praise each and every day, many times a day, Father. For you are the Creator, and you are over all. Father, we just ask that you continue to guide us and direct us in the way that you would want us to do. Father, we again just give praise and blessings to you, and we ask all these in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we can all join in on hymn number 62. For those who can, please stand.
Thank you.
this hymn, what always stands out to me is three words, because thy promise, well, four, five, because thy promise, I believe. Do you believe on his promises? Because he'll never fail you. Okay. Sharing of joys and concerns. Give you a little bit of update on Ron. He came through his surgery for the valve replacement and the aneurysm removal, but then he was having trouble with his heartbeat getting regulated, so they ended up putting in a pacemaker. And so now he's recovering from two surgeries. It's getting a little rough. They had him up this morning, but he's not been up to par. He's been sick to his stomach, and so let's just amp up the prayers a little bit. And for Nancy, too, because this is trying for her, and they're not getting much sleep, because you know if you've been in a hospital, they come in every couple hours. I still can't get over that they weighed him at 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I think I'd have to say, come back when I have breakfast. Then you can weigh me, and I'll be a little more heavier. I don't know, but they have their reasons, I guess. But just keep them in your prayers. Any others? Bob? That bench is full. Yeah. Danny?
Continue prayers for Debbie with her eyes and the whole Baker family. Travis.
Pastor Tracy?
Deb, we have a special joy on Friday. Our youngest son, Ethan, became engaged. He popped a question to his girlfriend, Anya. They have been dating 3 years. And Friday was also the occasion when we had first gone to Bethany, and that's where he asked her to marry him. So we're looking forward to that. They're looking down the road in a year or two. They're going to have a lot.
Very good. Very good. I saw another hand. Frank?
I want to continue to keep the white one prayer list. Woke up this morning, she wasn't feeling the best, so she's not with me this morning. But we pray that prayers and so forth will help to bring her around. And also, we want to remember Bob's birthday, which was just yesterday. He turned that nice little figure of 8-0.
And passed his Larry's yesterday as well.
Really? Wow. Well, I think we should sing happy birthday to these gentlemen. Happy birthday to Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
I'm much, much, much younger than Bob.
Any others?
Just keep my list of ones.
Okay. Jerry's list. Okay. Oh, Karen?
Yeah.
Who? Oh, Judy. Okay. These aren't even helping this morning. Oh. Now, Karen, okay.
I'm going to have traveling mercies for Liam and Landon. They were at the ocean with their other grandma for a while, and they were just coming up.
You know, I think we could cover all of us in traveling mercies each and every day. Even in the little town of Thurmont, it's getting crazy some days. Go when MBR is letting out, they're in a hurry to get home, and you better get out of the way. Okay, any others? All right, let's come before the Lord how you feel. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, what a wonderful privilege it is to come into your house to worship and praise you, to speak of your love and goodness, to learn your word. Father, we couldn't begin to count all of our blessings, for it's never ending. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here with our brothers and sisters. And Father, we just ask that when Pastor Larry steps up here, that you fill him full of the Spirit and strength, and that your words flow freely from him. And Father, let us keep our ears and hearts in tune to what he has to say. Father, now our list is long, and it seems like each week it grows longer. Father, we just ask that you would lift up those that are trying to heal from surgeries and those that have had other illnesses. Father, we think of Ron and his good wife, Nancy. We think of Danny and Kathy and the Peters family. We think of Deb and her eyesight. Oh, how precious is the gift of eyesight. And Father, we just ask that you would bless her with renewed and refreshed in eyesight. Father, we just keep the Baker family, especially Travis. This young man needs you. He needs to be filled with your Spirit. We think of Pat and Frank. We think of those that have lost loved ones this week, the Rice family. Would you please be with them, comfort them. Let them feel your presence. And let them know that this is not the end. Father, we just give thanks for the many blessings here today. We think of the back seat that's filled, and we see little smiling faces. We just give thank you for that joy. We think of our government. We just ask that you would bless them with the knowledge and wisdom that they so need, that they come to you, first off, on bended knee and humble themselves, just as it says in the word of Micah, that they would come humble themselves and ask you for guidance and direction. Not only our government leaders, but be with our educational leaders. And yes, even our spiritual leaders. For some of them are on the wrong path, Father, and we just ask that you would Let them do an about turn and come back to you and your word. Father, we missed some other joys, the joy of family, the joy of Ethan being starting his life, being engaged, and down the road, marriage. We just ask that you bless that young couple. We think of safe travels for Liam and Landon and Justin and Danny and Kathy. We think of Jerry's list. I'm sure it's just as mine. It's very long. But, Father, where we forget a name, we know you never forget. So, Father, we just put that into your safekeeping. Father, we thank you for the gift of birthdays. And we just ask that you would bless Brother Bob and Brother Larry in the year ahead with good health. Father, we just thank you for Pastor Tracy, Pastor Larry, and Brother Sam that give their time to help your church here on the hill in Rocky Ridge. We just ask that you would bless them. Bless Pastor Tracy's dear wife, Pat, for she has volunteered to help with Sunday school and different things, and we just ask that you give her good health and strength and courage to keep on extending that helping hand. Father, now, we just want to thank you again for everything. Now may we unite our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know what? I wanted to include the offering in that. Let's bow our heads for a brief prayer. I forgot to include the offering, and we should always be grateful for the gifts that we are given. Dear Heavenly Father, now we just ask that you would bless the gifts that are in the box back there. Bless the giver as well, for I know that their labors are long some weeks, and they have returned a portion back to you. And Father, guide us, those that are stewards of the church, to make good and wise decisions on your behalf, to keep this church going and to reach out into the community. We thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you're going to do special music now, right? Is that how they have it? Or are you going to do it when... Or whenever you're ready, or you want to do it when you do your. Okay. Well, I'm done anyway, right? See, you don't understand. My mind's on getting home and finding out where the leak's coming from. So, and this old brain can only attack one thing at a time. So please forgive me. I'm really not crazy yet. So I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Larry. His sermon today is Lamb of God. Are you going to read the scripture? And he can read the scripture. I'm sorry. God bless you.
We were talking in Sunday school about the danger of being a double-minded person. So, see. Well, it's good to see you all. Always nice to be with you. You know, when I'm going someplace different almost every week, you know, it's like the middle of the week, and then I got to think, you know, where am I going this Sunday? And when my date book says monocacy, that always makes me smile. But I was actually, my study office area is in our downstairs, and I was actually down there kind of putting finishing touches on today's message last night when Deb came to the stairway and shouted down, "Turn on the TV, President Trump's been shot." And if you think I need it, I can. You know, when we get old, our voices aren't as strong, are they, Bob?
You got to remind me. You're younger than me. You got to remind me to get it out.
Yes.
I did ask.
There you go. But I can get wandering around sometimes. So. So as I was saying, I was downstairs in my office study, kind of putting the finishing touches on today's message, and my wife Deb came to the stairwell and said, "Turn on the TV, President Trump's been shot." Kind of took me back to my junior high days when President Kennedy was assassinated. And so for number of hours then, I was glued to the TV, maybe some of you too, as we watched that, and you just think it can't be possible. In this day and age, in our nation, how can this be possible? And the news this morning says a 20-year-old man, a boy, who did that and then lost his own life. And another person there in the rally was killed. Two, I guess they're saying now, seriously injured. It's just so sad. I, probably like you, mourn at the level of hatred of the dialect in our political campaigns, no matter which side you're on. And what you believe about things, I don't think you need to be so mean-spirited and angry and now violent. So I changed the song that I was planning to sing. I was planning to sing one that would go along with my sermon more. But I chose one, you know, Philippians chapter 2, it talks about that day coming when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And sometimes I think that's, boy, we need to remember that today in the midst of our political unrest and everybody shouting at everybody else, that we really have one Lord and one who is in charge and one who watches over us and rules over us all. So I'd like to share this one with you. That kind of remembers and celebrates that, and maybe on this day, when, you know, maybe like me, you're sad that this has happened, something like this has happened. Thankful that whether you're in favor of his politics or not, but I'm thankful that President Trump wasn't killed. If he'd have been standing just a little different way, seems like he'd have probably been killed. But there was a person in the crowd who was killed, and others who were injured. So. Brother Bob, maybe you should turn this mic off while I sing. The lapel. Turn the lapel off while I sing. You might get too much of me. Called We All Bow Down, and remembers those words in Philippians that one day we all, every knee will bow. Thank you.
mountains and the rivers whisper the Savior's name. Awesome and holy, a friend to the lonely, forever his love will reign. And we all surrender their crown and worship Jesus. Yes, we'll worship Jesus. Come and worship Jesus. For he is the love. Say amen to that.
Yes.
Amen. It was 1971, about 230 some years ago. 1971, and I had just graduated from architectural school. I was working in the architectural field. I was committed to architecture as my career. But on that spring day in the Mechanicsburg Church of the Brethren, I was licensed to the ministry. I told the congregation pretty boldly that day that my career was going to be in architecture. I told them that they should never ask me to preach because that wasn't my gift. But we know how that all turned out. But dear ones, in the years that followed, Larry got off track. Made some bad decisions. Went down some sinful roads. Really let the church and some who had trusted in me really let them down. The irony of it all was it was coming at a time when I was beginning to feel that maybe my career wouldn't be in architecture and that the Lord was calling me to full-time ministry. But now I had disqualified myself in the eyes of some from serving the Lord. I sat with a district executive whom I really trusted, respected, and he said he wasn't sure that there would ever be any churches that would be willing to have me as their pastor. Long story short, the North Liberty Church of the Brethren in Indiana took a chance on this young pastor. gave me a second chance and called me. And after 8 wonderful years there, the Bermudian Church in East Berlin called me, and I was able to move home. And as you know, served out my career there for the next 30 years as their pastor. The Lord blessed, and the Lord forgave. At one point, a well-known pastor in the Southern Pennsylvania district said to me, "I hope you know how privileged you are that with your sinful background, you've been able to do the things you've done." And I do know that. And I do consider myself privileged to have been forgiven and allowed to serve in some of the amazing ways that the Lord has opened His doors for me. And whenever I stand in a pulpit, including yours, I'm thankful. Today I want to consider with you one of the many names of our Lord Jesus, Lamb of God. It's a name, friends, that you must understand. It's a name so rich and full of meaning. So let's pray, and then we'll find your worship folder. We'll read the scripture together, I think, and then we'll dig in a bit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. So good to be together. Thank you on a day when we come with our hearts kind of aching for our nation. Thank you for the joy of Christian fellowship and friendship, of music of the faith and prayers, and the memory verse of the children, and time in Sunday school. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Now we open your word and we ask that you would be with us in your Holy Spirit as our teacher. Allow this poor messenger to be in the background and your perfect, perfect truth to be what's front and center. Oh, Holy Spirit, teach us, we pray, open our eyes and ears to you today. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Amen. Turn with me then in your worship folder to our scripture from the first chapter of John's Gospel, verses 29 to 34. We're reading here about John the Baptist. Let's read together. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I met when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." May the Lord add his blessing to our reading and our hearing his precious word. today we find ourselves, as we look at this passage, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He is in the wilderness area around the Dead Sea. I have visited this area, and I can tell you it's the most desolate area I've ever experienced. I've been to some deserts and some very remote places here in the United States, but the area around the Dead Sea is the most desolate area I've ever seen. Here, you remember, Jesus spent 40 days of temptation alone in this desolate wilderness as his public ministry was about to begin. In this area, there was a Jewish sect known as the Essenes. And they lived there in a cave community, and you can still see the remains of that cave community. At their peak, as many as 200 lived there. Probably not as familiar with the Essenes, but they were part of the Jewish political system. You're more familiar with the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Jesus' day. The Pharisees were the conservatives. Everything to them was about studying God's word and obeying God's word to the letter. They were strict legalists. The Sadducees were the more progressive. They just wanted to win favor with the occupying Roman Empire. They did not believe in miracles. They did not believe in the resurrection after death. So those are the Pharisees and Sadducees that we hear more often in Scripture. But the Essenes were the separatists, more Amish-like, not so different from our own brethren, faith ancestors. They just wanted to keep themselves separate from the Roman Empire and their Roman influence. So they built this wilderness community out in the middle of this desolate area around the Dead Sea. It's here that we found the Dead Sea Scrolls. You know that name. The Dead Sea Scrolls were their library. The library of the Essene community at Qumran was their library. Scrolls in clay jars in cave, natural caves, there among the cliffs around the Dead Sea. That dry desert climate preserved those scriptures, and when they were found in 1947, it was an amazing find, because here we had manuscripts of the Bible that were 1,000 years older than anything we had in existence at that time. And when we're studying scripture, ancient scripture, trying to get as far back and as close as we can to the originals, we always want the oldest we can find. Of course, in those days, every copy of the Bible you had been hand-copied. So we always want the oldest copies we can find. And when we found the Dead Sea Scrolls, it took our scripture study back 1,000 years, and what we found was almost no difference. And it reminded us of how God has preserved his word from the time when he first gave it to those who would write it down. We believe that John the Baptist lived here before his ministry began in the Qumran community with the Essenes. And when John began his baptism ministry in the Jordan River, in a little village just north of the Dead Sea, on the east side of the Jordan. The Bible calls that village Bethany beyond Jordan, and that can be confusing, because when we think of Bethany, we think of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, where Jesus would hang out when he went to Jerusalem. That's much closer to Jerusalem. That's on the west side of the Jordan River, closer to Jerusalem. And Bethany beyond Jordan is over on the east side, on the other side of the Jordan River, about 20 miles from Jerusalem. So here, John comes out of his not being known at all to begin preaching and teaching and baptizing Jews to repentance. Huge crowds came. His preaching attracted huge crowds, and they came from Jerusalem and the surrounding towns to hear this wild man preach, and many of them to be baptized in the Jordan River for repentance. And in John's Gospel, just before the passage we're focusing in on, some priests and some Pharisees and some Levites make the 20-mile journey from the temple in Jerusalem and come to question John the Baptist. Who the heck are you? Who do you think you are? What are you doing? And by what authority do you do this? John the Baptist clearly denies that he is anyone special. And he tells them that he has come to point to the one who is coming, the Messiah, long awaited by the Jews. And now the passage that we're looking at and that we read together, now this opens, and it's the next day. And Jesus shows up in the crowd of people with the Jewish leaders there. John is preaching and baptizing. And when he sees Jesus, John the Baptist declares, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29. Doesn't seem like anything out of the ordinary for us. Pretty familiar title for us. But don't miss how extraordinary this proclamation was. I want you to know a couple things about that proclamation. First, he says, takes away. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Greek word there is aeron. Carries the idea of picking something up and carrying it away to destroy it. And then notice the word sin. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's singular. It's not plural. It's not the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. Come to take the sin of the world. While Christ's blood is sufficient for all of our sins, mine, yours, he really died for the sin principle that has separated people from God ever since Eden. It's that quicksand that began with Adam and Eve that we're all stuck in, that broke our intimacy with Father God. And that even our most sincere efforts seem impotent to make a difference against. You remember how the Apostle Paul writes about it. For what I want to do, I do not do. And what I hate, I do. Romans 7:15. I don't know about you, but I can say amen to that. The very thing I want to do, so often I don't do. And the very thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing that. This is the sin principle, the disease that we all were infected with, that Jesus takes away to destroy. So don't miss how amazing this title is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. William Barclay, British theologian of an earlier generation, said of this title, it summarizes in one phrase the love, the sacrifice, the suffering, and the triumph of our Lord Jesus, end quote. Now, this concept, familiar to us, but this concept had been developed through God's word to Israel. And I want to trace it with you a little bit. I want you to see how the concept of Lamb of God. And so we have to go back to the time of Abraham. And you know Abraham's story. Called by God, he's going to be the father of a great nation that God will use, Israel. Problem is he and his dear wife Sarah don't have any children. And they wait and they wait and they pray and they pray. At one hand, you know, they tried to take things into their own hands. That didn't work very well. And finally, very, very late in life, miraculously, well beyond when any woman would be expected to be able to be pregnant, the baby comes. Isaac means laughter. Can you imagine this old couple laughing at the thought of having a baby at their age? Can you imagine the friends and family laughing with them? Can you imagine the men teasing Abraham, "You old devil, we knew you still had it in you." And the old ladies teasing Sarah, "What in the world, Sarah, have you and Abraham been up to?" Oh, they loved that boy. They loved that boy. And then one day, out of nowhere, God says to Abraham, "Take your son Isaac and go up into that mountain in the distance. And there I want you to sacrifice your son." Now, human sacrifice was not uncommon or unheard of in all the pagan nations around Israel. And we can imagine that there's some discussion in there that doesn't get included in the event as it's just recorded in Scripture. But what we have in Scripture is Abraham simply preparing to do just what God has asked. But can you imagine the heartache, the worry, the feeling like your heart was being ripped out? And so they take wood to build the altar and the fire out of, and they take a torch with fire on, and they make the long journey. And the boy, at one point, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. And the boy says, "The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb." I want you to catch that phrase and think about it. God himself will provide the lamb. But do you want it? And that's how most of our translations will have that. God himself will provide the lamb. But do you want to know how that wording in the original Hebrew, literally how it comes out? God will provide himself the lamb. Catch the difference? Most of our translations use God himself will provide the lamb. But it literally, in the Hebrew, says God will provide himself the lamb. Ah, there was a clue there to what's going on. And you know the story. They find a ram caught in the thicket here, and that becomes their sacrifice. So now let's fast forward. It's years later. Israel is now in captivity in Egypt. Moses is to be the spokesman to help them leave their slavery in Egypt. God sends these plagues to try to convince the great Pharaoh to let Israel go. And at one point, this is recorded in Exodus 12, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb, one for each household. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. All the people of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then you are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where you eat the lambs. It is the Lord's Passover." And so they do as they're told. They each get a lamb. They slaughter the lamb. They sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and the lintels. And that night, God sends an angel of death over Egypt, and the firstborn male in every home is killed, but the houses with the blood sprinkled there the angel passes over, and that's where that name comes from. And the Passover festival becomes an annual festival of the Lord to this day. When the Jews gather and celebrate the Passover and eat lamb and tell the story of how God brought them out. And in Jesus' day, at the temple, the holy temple in Jerusalem, the town would grow to multiple, many times its normal size as pilgrims would come from all over Israel to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. And they would bring their lambs, and they would be taken to the temple and checked to make sure that they were spotless and slaughtered there. And it's kind of gruesome for us to think about, but in the great stone paving of the courts of the Jerusalem temple, there needed to be channels cut to run the blood off because there were so many thousands and thousands and thousands of lambs slaughtered there, that they had to make channels to run the blood off the side of Temple Mount. As the Old Testament goes on, the prophets now begin to paint a picture about one who is coming, the Messiah. Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Jeremiah 11:19, I had been like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. And so this concept, you see, had played out and grown through the Old Testament scriptures, that one was coming. One was coming, the Lamb of God, who would finally fulfill that image. And no longer would there need to be year after year after year after year lambs slaughtered, but it would be once for all. And now here we are back at our text. And here's John the Baptist. And here's Jesus, unknown, just showing up on the scene. And John looks at him and says, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Can you see the wonder of it all? Can you imagine the Jewish leaders as they heard this? Is it any wonder they were offended at John's words? And so on the very mountain, 3 years later, on the very mountain where Abraham had taken Isaac to sacrifice him, on that very mountain, which is now the mountain on which the temple was built, on that very mountain, our Lord Jesus is crucified. He becomes the Lamb of God. It's Passover time when the Jews are celebrating and remembering. And Jesus, on that rocky cleft outside of town, known as Skull Hill, Golgotha, is crucified on the old rugged cross. And the New Testament writers carry the word picture out. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And the Apostle John, given the great vision we know as the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 writes, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever. And as John carries his vision forward, notice what he writes in Revelation 13. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Are you letting all the pieces come together? Jesus is the fulfillment of the Passover lamb. And he is the only one, friends, the only one in heaven who will bear the scars of the past. My dear late wife Kathy is there with no signs of diabetes. You've had heart trouble, you'll be in heaven with no signs of heart trouble. Those who have had an amputation or lost an eye will be there completely whole and new. But when we see Jesus, we're told, we will see his nail-scarred hands and his nail-pierced feet. And forever through eternity, we'll be reminded, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So what are takeaways from John's proclamation today? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. First thing is, he starts that phrase with behold, or some translations look or see. You must see Jesus, friends. You must understand who Jesus is and what his role, what his ministry was, what his divine assignment has been. You must see it. You must understand it. You must take it to heart. And to behold Jesus, you must draw close to him. And how do we do that? We do that through worship. We do that through prayer. We do that through scripture. Those must all be top priority if we want to behold Jesus. And second, he is the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. His perfection allowed his blood to be the price sufficient for your sin and mine. Nothing I can do can make me clean enough. Nothing I can do can make me forgiven. I can't be good enough. I can't be clean enough. I can't be pure enough. And nothing I have done, no matter how vile, how despicable, how evil, how shameful, is too much for the sufficiency of the Lamb's blood to carry away. And that's true for you too. You can't do anything to earn the forgiveness. And there's nothing that you have done that is too much for God to forgive. And finally, takes away. Completely forgotten. When Jesus forgives your sin, it is destroyed. It is removed. Your sin is no longer in existence. Oh, dear ones, do not live with shame from your past. Stop beating yourself up. You are forgiven. Fully, totally, completely, by the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I think maybe I've shared with you before that my father in the 1950s had a farm equipment business up Route 15, the town of Dillsburg. He was an excellent mechanic. As the business grew, the bank introduced him to a partner because they wanted to build a new shop. The partner did some wrong things with the money, and the long story short is that we lost our home and everything. Dad lost everything he owned. was years later. I remember it so clearly at the supper table. When Dad announced that the former partner was in the hospital and was dying of cancer, and he was going to go visit him. And I can remember my mom's anger. Dale, why? Why would you go see him? And I can remember, I was just a little guy, and I can remember kind of thinking, well, good, he's dying. After all that he caused our family, all the suffering, good. But my dad said something that changed me. He said, I want him to know that I forgive him. And I want to make sure that he's okay with Jesus. When we behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world, when that's real to us, then it allows us to be forgiving towards others. If my sins can be forgiven, then my brother or sister who did wrong to me, I can forgive them. It's so important. Leave it on your hearts. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. We're going to sing a wonderful old hymn. It's at 140 in your hymnal, Redeemed. Talks about the Lamb of God. It's written in a cheerful, upbeat tempo. So let's sing it that way. Let's stand and enjoy Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Pray with me. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Oh, Father, what a blessed thought. For we know who we are. We know our sin. We know our inability. Oh, how we struggle with it. To walk fully in your ways. But how wonderful. How hard to even imagine. That even before the creation, you had put the plan in place. Knowing we would fall, knowing we would sin, you had put the plan in place for the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And all we must do is to open our hearts and receive our Lord Jesus truly as Lord. Bless us as we go from this place to the activities of the day, the celebrations, and the work of the week before us. And help us to walk in your way. And with that wondrous thought, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Lord, with that ever to be on our lips and our hearts. Go with us in your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Participate.
That's the hard part.
Okay,
we have to turn it up again.
Okay.
Vanilla.
Coconut, almond, natural vanilla. Looks like we're running out of that. We don't have any pure vanilla. Nope. Imitation coconut.
Huh.
Almost every Sunday I'm somewhere that's different.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy that.
Yeah. Helps get a perspective on like the whole, you know, body of Christ versus yours.
Warm out here.
Yeah.
I don't tend to eat like I used to.
Yep.